Blog Talk Radio.
People in the house today, huh?
It's Wednesday and wow. We are back. Welcome, people.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome to the Bridal Body Shop on Blog Talk Radio, going live every Wednesday from New York City at 1 o'clock. And happy to have you here.
Thank you.
And it's a balmy day on the East Coast, opposed to the
2 degrees the other day, and today it's 50 degrees. And tomorrow, what did you say, 64?
64. And you know what's really funny? Yesterday I was saying to myself, Monday was what?
So?
Something like 12. I just say sweetie to me because we're I know myself so many years. You know, we're on that sort of basis. But on Monday, I think it was 12 degrees. And yesterday I left the house and it was like 23. And there is this world of difference between 23 degrees and 12 degrees.
No, big difference.
It's, you know,
big
it's just
difference.
It's just so amazing. You never
especially if there's no wind involved.
Oh, my God. It was just a cold day, but that's all it was. It was just cold. And, you know, we went about our business. And, you know, it's winter in New York. And what could you do? What could you do? But welcome, people. Thank you for joining us again. Thank you for making us part of your household, part of your life. So the past 4 years, we've been happy to be there and hope to be there many more years to come. So, yeah. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
We are here to serve you, and that's what we do every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And cast of characters, before we go into our show.
Yes. Who's here?
Ladies behind the mic are Lori Towers is me. I get nothing. Elite Siegelman is she. The Bridal Body Shop is who we are. Yeah. And it's going to be a really fun show today because we have two of our, you've heard them in the past. We actually had this duo on. Winter we've had on, you know, a couple other times. But we had these two on for our Trainers Take the Mic show.
Yes.
When was it? 2 years? Was it 2 years ago? Or was it last
year?
No,
it was last year.
Was it last year? And it was basically trainers talking about their pet peeves.
Experiences, pet peeves.
With their clients.
Yep.
And it's our fitness correspondent, Winter Gabriel, and she will be joining us in a couple of minutes. And the pride of Monroe County, Connecticut, Todd Murray, will be joining us, and he's very zen. So, yeah, everybody. And we have some, you know, it's going to be fun. We have things in game show format today. It's going to be really fun. And it's just going to be, you know, loose and just, you know what, we're going to use this platform of questions to actually have a little bit more of an import on, you know, a little bit more of a lengthy discussion. I think that's a great way to encourage more discussion is put it like in a question form. And then, you know, where it goes from there, it's a beautiful thing, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of beautiful things,
yes.
I turn to the lovely,
yes.
The lovely statuesque Elite Siegelman, and I ask her, how are you?
I'm great.
Anything new you want to talk about?
Anything new? No, really nothing. How about you?
Well, sad day, sad night last night, I think.
Sad night.
We said goodbye to our current administration.
Yeah, that was really sad.
That was,
tears to my eyes.
I was crying like a baby.
Yeah.
I was crying like a baby for a lot of different reasons.
As much as he was slow to do stuff, he did what he was, intended to do, and he did do it.
I have to say, you know, and it's
in a mature manner.
Yeah.
Which is very important.
It's the right of our high officials to disappoint us. And there were a couple of things that he did that I wasn't crazy about, but
I don't
on
think
the
anybody
whole,
is going to
that's
be
exactly
perfect
right.
in our eyes
that's
anyway.
That's the exact truth. But on the whole, I was watching last night, and I'm thinking, okay, we've lost this. I mean, someone who actually was more than articulate and just had was a class act, and whether you agreed with him or not, he
definitely a great speaker.
He is a what? Yeah, exactly. He was just Kennedy-esque. I mean, he just really just spoke eloquently, had a very tempered way. A lot of people said, you know, and like you just said, he seemed very slow to move. But you know something? Mm-hmm. I like slower to move as opposed to somebody who's got a hair trigger reflex,
right,
and is going to cause some problems in as far as diplomatic policy and so on and so forth. But even that, you know, even if you weren't crazy about him, and everybody's got a right not to agree with the administration, Michelle Obama, I will say, has to be probably one of the most beloved and effective first
she
ladies.
She is wonderful. I love
first
her.
First lady since Eleanor Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a woman that was that far-reaching.
Nope.
That glamorous, elegant, articulate, intelligent, and compassionate. And that is what this woman was, and you know, and is. And she'll be serving us. There you go. There you go. That's it. Da 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 da. Yep. Yeah.
That's enough of that.
And since Roosevelt.
Kids, sit down.
Everybody. You know, but the kids, you want to encourage everybody. Okay, that's enough. You know, I never want to poo-poo the kids from getting into politics, but you know, not on our show. You know what I'm saying.
No.
But honestly, this woman has done so, I mean, and I think her love was felt bipartisan.
Like he said,
fashion.
He made, she said, he said that she made everybody welcome to the White House.
And she made, you know, she was active where, you know, I'm going to say the first ladies before her, although, you know, certainly Barbara Bush, I think, was a little slower to engage in the things that maybe I would embrace.
Wasn't she hiding behind the bottle, behind doors?
But, no, not Barbara Bush.
Oh, not Barbara.
No, that was Laura Bush.
Oh, that's
that
Laura
was allegedly
Bush.
She had some. But
really?
You know, in fairness to her, Barbara Bush was the first, you know, the elder
the
Bush.
The Bush is a Bush is a Bush.
But no, listen to me. She is very good friends with Rosalynn Carter.
Oh, okay.
So they collectively do some good work together. So, and again, Michelle Obama younger and certainly a little bit more equipped to do a little bit more traveling and outreach than an older woman.
Right.
But a lot of first ladies have sat there and just
did nothing. They were just walking by their husband's side the whole time.
But
you knew Michelle Obama.
And you know what I think? Whether or not you agreed with any of the policies.
She had no policies.
No.
She did was just
I'm talking about
stuff.
As far as the administration.
Well, yeah.
You look at them as a couple, and you say to yourself, this is what whoever, you know, whatever you view on marriage you have, they have an egalitarian marriage. They have a marriage based on equality. She supported him. Right. She supported him from the side, walking beside him as opposed to walking behind him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's, she was a perfect role model
yeah.
for women.
Yeah.
Because you could be supportive of the most powerful man in the United States or in the world, just about, mixed country. But you can be equal at the same time. And I think that she showed that. And you know what?
It's like she was the president also.
And you know what?
President's aide.
He didn't allow her to stand in his shadow. So there's something about him
right. That's
a wonderful thing, and knowing his wife
mm-hmm.
is certainly potent in her own fashion.
Well,
but
she's a strong lady. I don't think she would have stood in the shadows
and
anyway.
That's the thing. You see how well-rounded their marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a marriage based on a man being stronger, a man being more intelligent, a man. It's just, you know, you just empower each other.
Right.
And I think that regardless of where you stand or where you are politically, that is what you would want. For anybody who's listening and saying, you know what, I don't agree. That's what you would want for your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many men that I...
strong
exactly. And there are so many men out there that might be of the more chauvinism, you know, side that I would like, and still agree that women are in their place, and the old adage, you know, barefoot and pregnant. But it comes to the point when and I think this is where karma comes in. Every man that I know of that has supported that and thought that women were lesser than and thought that they didn't need equivalent pay have daughters.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I sit there and I smile and I say, okay, when your daughter comes home and says, Daddy, you know what, my boss was, you know, made an improper advancement to me. Daddy, how come I'm not getting paid the same? Daddy, how come I'm not getting time off for pregnancy? How come I'm getting fired? This man will have to sit in his chair, the chair that he sponsored, you know, he spoused all these ridiculous diatribes against
mm-hmm.
women, and your daughter is coming to you and asking you why it's not equal.
And that's when he has a heart attack and dies.
This is poetic justice. This is poetic justice. And this is what I'm saying. And you know what? I hope that I'm wrong, and I'm hoping that collectively the country, well, the part of the country that I belong to and is worried about this administration, I hope we're all wrong, and I hope that things happen in the fashion that
mm-hmm.
We say to ourselves, you know what? Yeah, it really wasn't that bad.
No.
It really wasn't that bad. But, you know, let's agree to disagree and do it in a civil fashion. And, you know, this is what I've been saying to people all week. Remain seated. The ride is not over.
No, it's never over.
And that's what we have to keep in mind. It's just one of those things. And, you know, however you would disagree, do it in a peaceful manner. Do it in any way you want to. Donate to a charity that you think is going to be cut because of the current administration. Give to Planned Parenthood, who does wonderful things, not just for birth control,
mm-hmm.
but they support a lot of other policies, and they have been around for a while. They will certainly need your $5, $10, or whatever you could give.
True.
Everybody counts. Every dollar counts. So that's all I'm saying about that. But it's going to be an interesting 2017. So we're going to just sit fight tight. And what are you making us listen to? Is that again? Are these kids singing again?
No, I was just naming all the good presidents until some of them came up.
Well, you know something, Elite. It's
a Yankee Doodle song.
Yeah. Well, you know, again,
Clinton Bush, not even a
disagreement in policies, but you know, again, in my lifetime, I'm sure there will be presidents that I embrace, and I'm sure there's going to be presidents that I don't. But we hope that the president isn't, you know, doesn't become, you know, I think this is a time where we should decide that forget Democrat, conservative, liberal, Republican. It's a matter of American.
Preach it, baby, preach it.
American, and we are all Americans, and I think that's what we have to work as a collective towards and change policies and agree to disagree and do it in a fashion that's becoming of us and of this country and why people came to this country. And stop laughing at me, Lee Ziegelman. Shut that off now. See? This is why I don't like this. See? Because you go too far. You go way too far.
Well, you keep preaching, so
I'm going. But see, that's
on.
Not, you know, let me explain something to
what?
You. When I am preaching, you should have some nice music behind me.
Well, that
we
was
have,
that was the
no,
kind of music you needed.
You should have like a choir. That's what I want you to do.
A choir.
I want you to look it up. Get me a choir. You get me a choir.
You get me a
because
preach.
That's just words with my
get
words.
Get me a preach.
And nobody knows what these kids are saying.
Get me a preach.
They're not close enough to the mic.
Yeah.
But. I think one of our trainers is on now. And I think it is.
It's Winter.
Lovely.
I think.
Winter
I'm pretty,
Gabriel.
I'm pretty sure
Winter
that's
on.
I'm on.
Hey,
I'm
darling.
On.
Hey.
How's it going?
How are you, darling?
Very well, and I thought that was really beautifully put. It's important to mention and to acknowledge, and I really agree with everything you said, and I just think that if we can continue, even just as individuals, to live in a manner that we believe in and we value and that we think will affect even one, two, or many people that we interact with around us, hopefully that can make the world, you know, the way that we want it to continue to be. Because we really do have a lot of power, even as just energy, people with energy. So I think that what you said is on target, and we can only wait and see as well. You know
it's
and
funny because, well, I mean, we don't consider ourselves a political show, but the thing, some things have to be said. And last night, everybody that I met today or anybody I spoke to today had the same reaction. It was that most people felt overwhelmed, saddened, but mostly affected by everything that was said last night. And as it's happening, you're sitting there, you're watching, saying, well, and I was even saying to Lee before, I cried for many different reasons.
No,
you know, it was just because of the beauty and the poetic way the man speaks, but what we know we're losing. And I think that was what hit every person. Well, and I can't say, because, I mean, everybody that I know voted a certain way. But I think that it even hit most people that voted to the contrary, because certain behavior is not what I think people thought they were getting. So
we can only just be positive moving forward, because to make it a positive note, we're just going to have to think positively and remain hopeful and lead by example, even as just us people that aren't president.
And so, you know what? And I have said this, that sometimes the worst of historical episodes have brought about the best change. So that's what I'm hoping in this, that we'll come out of it stronger and better. And, you know, again, it might seem a little lengthy. It might not seem like it's coming about as quickly. But I think that, you know, sometimes bottoming out is the best thing that could happen to you.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely causes change, for sure.
And that's it. Maybe we needed this. So, you know, we just stick together and we will do it. But let me introduce, first of all, I think we have Todd coming on. I think Todd Murray, Pride of Monroe County, Connecticut, is on board with us. Is he not, Elie Ziegelman?
I think so. Let me just get him on.
Okay, let's get him on. You two kids play nice, so that's why we had you both on together. Todd, are you there?
Hi, how are you?
Todd, how
Hello.
Are you? Right on, Tom. You remember Winter, Todd, don't you? Winter, you remember
Hi,
Todd.
Hi, Winter. How's everything?
Very good, Todd. It's great to hear your voice again.
Yeah.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Same to you.
That's right. Happy
Thank
New Year
you.
To you both.
Everybody, Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year.
Okay, first of
That's
all,
right.
let me get this
Let's
out of
get
the way
it
first.
Right. Go ahead.
New Year's resolutions. Winter, what do you have?
I vowed to try and be more present in the very thing that I was doing at that moment, to not overextend, and to just show up and be the best that I can in that moment, and not look too far ahead and always think I should be at Z when I'm only at D, if that makes sense.
Amen, darling. Absolutely.
Yeah. We both have that problem, too.
We both
me
have
and Laurie.
That problem. Oh, yeah. What about you, Todd?
It can get out of control.
What about you, Todd?
I don't make New Year's resolutions. I'm always trying to better myself. That's a daily process, so I don't wait until that. I just don't celebrate New Year's.
Oh, wow.
Why did I know he was going to say that?
Yeah,
I just had a feeling. But that, you know, that's the thing, because I think it's a day that we place a lot of pressure on ourselves, and when we do that, nothing ever happens. No change comes about because we get pressured, and we capitulate to it, and nothing gets done.
And you see as a trainer, you're constantly hearing about New Year's resolutions, and you see the ups and downs of them, and, I'm gonna splurge this week because I'm starting everything, and it just doesn't work like that. So, yeah, it's a morning, afternoon, and night trying. There's a lot of work to be done.
Salud, Elie Ziegelman. It's true. You sneeze on the truth. Well, that's the funny thing. Elie and I, last year we had the show for New Year's, saying that this is when the gyms make money. You know, everybody making those New Year's resolutions to lose weight, to do this, and it lasts exactly a week. And then that's it.
That's it.
You, everybody pays in full, and they never come back.
I think a lot of people think that tomorrow them is different from today them.
Yeah, always. You know, and I think everybody thinks that once they do, whether it's, you know, again, our platform is always working out and getting in shape, but it's always the thing that, like, well, if I know when I'm a blonde, I'm going to feel better about myself. I know when I do this, I'm going to feel better. I know my life is going to change when I get a new hairstyle. And it never does. You know, it's the internal stuff, not the external.
All right, let's
get
on with the show.
All right. You know, Lee, this is why you're poison for me, Lee.
All right, let's go.
Because this is
let
how
me test
happens.
My buzzer.
Go ahead, test your buzzer, darling.
Okay.
That was a
cute little buzzer. It was like a little bell.
Yeah, well, that's what it is.
Well, what about the...
Okay,
you got the other sound effects, too?
All right,
If my responses are a tad delayed, it sounds a bit busy, like it sounds crowded, so I'm not sure if that's me and my connection or if...
I hear you perfectly.
Yeah,
so.
I do, too.
Okay.
I hear you well, too.
Well, okay. You know what?
Maybe
we'll give you one of those.
We're a polite show, so if you step on somebody, that's fine. Okay.
Let's do it.
Okay, now this first is going to... Now, these questions are just fun questions, and they're just to really import a little bit more dialogue on the subject. Winter, this is for you, okay?
Uh-oh.
Multiple choice.
I saw
choice.
The math. Do not give me any math.
No.
I have a pen and a paper and calculator. I'm not good at math.
Everybody hates math, but no. This is just multiple choice, and this is very, I mean, the answers, I think, are obvious. Is nutrition important? Number one, there you go, is you can't out-train a bad diet. Number two is, no, eat everything because you're working out. And number three is, certainly eat cake.
So I'm okay. So B, I'm going to cancel out. C, I'm going to say that you should certainly eat cake because I believe in eating your cake and
having your cake and eating it too.
And having your cake and eating it too. Yes, to a degree.
Is that your final answer?
My final answer is A. Mostly, it certainly is important. But
yeah, you win.
Let's face it, not to go back to what Todd was saying, but if you say to yourself, in the new year, I'm never, ever, ever going to eat cake because cake makes me fat, then you're going to crave it so much you're going to eat an entire Carvel cake and you're going to feel like fat. So in moderation, a good healthy diet, and what people forget is it's really not even, I hate to say it, but it's not even what you're eating sometimes as much as how much you're eating. So although there is absolute merit in the fact that you're going to feel better if you have something with a good protein in it and a healthy carbohydrate, and you're going to have more energy versus a bunch of sugar, if you eat pounds and pounds and pounds of steak all day long, that's not necessarily going to help you to lose weight if that's something that you're trying to do.
No.
So nutrition is important. It's the quality and it's also the quantity.
Very
so that's my
good.
And Todd,
very, very good.
Do you want to weigh in on that, Todd?
I'm not sure how much time you guys have. I tend to go off on...
Well, let me put the music on then for you.
No, I everything that Winter said, I would just elaborate forever. I'm good to move to the next question if you guys are.
Oh, okay.
Well, you can take that off. There you go. See, now that went to waste. You take that off.
All right, that's it. That's all.
Okay, now this is for you, Todd. And this is obviously one that you and I always snicker about all the time. Will lifting weights make a woman bulky? Number one, A, is, of course, the more you lift, the bigger you become. Two, unless they're taking steroids, a woman will only reach her genetic potential. Three, eat cake. That eating cake keeps coming up.
I love cake.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's two. Or B, two or B.
It's two.
Yeah, they're very
number,
good.
Yeah.
And you know something? When Elite and I were coming up, and I remember before, you know, this was back in the 80s, and any woman with an ounce of muscle, it was always frowned upon. It was always, well, what the hell is wrong with her, blah, 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 blah. And I remember my early days of training, women used to say, well, you know what, I wouldn't want to look like you, though. You know, but as opposed to carrying 30 pounds of extra body weight, was it, well, I don't know if I needed a sound effect for that, but thank you. Thank you, darling. But this is the common misconception of
very true
women lifting
yep.
weights.
You know, muscle is sexy. I'm sorry, Todd, I didn't mean to interrupt, but it is looked upon as being sexy. I just wanted to throw that out there. So I love it.
It is very sexy. We think
it
so.
It is. It's showing health. It's,
yep.
It's, you're
exactly.
not going to look
healthy. Dedication, determination, all that stuff.
And also, without saying it, it shows that you are not someone that relies on everybody else to do things for you. When you work out and take care of yourself, that's all on you. It's your responsibility. And when it shows that you can take care of that, you have the foundation, and you are not just someone that's going to, you know, weigh on somebody else and have them handle all of your issues and problems. Maybe that's just my own personal.
Got it.
And
that's
taking it to a deeper level for sure.
But and you know what? But he's exactly right.
Yep.
Because most of the people, now don't forget when we were working out, it was back in the 80s, and pumping iron, too, wasn't even out yet. So that wasn't even considered sexy then, and it was more threatening to men than anything else. Mm. So
yeah, the male-dominated dumbbell
yeah.
area.
Yeah, that was
Rachel McLish and
yeah.
Marie Everson.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They are super sexy.
They
yep.
absolutely are.
They sure are.
And still are.
As
but,
opposed
you know,
to, like, and I'm not saying, like, if people like Kate Moss and so on, I think that isn't healthy, and how long can you maintain? That's not a sustainable
right.
lifestyle.
Well, it's too different.
Maybe that's
so,
great about muscle.
Maybe,
it keeps you healthy. That's important
yes.
to remember, whether they're big ones or small ones. You do need core strength, and you
yeah.
need to protect all your joints, so...
Exactly right.
Any weight-bearing exercises that you could do, whether you use iron to get, you know, your muscles larger and then you back that up with a protein-enriched diet, or you're just doing using your own body weight and you're eating lean because you want to stay a person who wants to be small or whatever it is, you need the strength because the strength equates to health and
that's it.
Good posture and all that, so it's so
for
important.
Winter.
Ooh, the bell, I like it.
And you know what, I think also, with winter, with your classes, I think that
mm-hmm.
there's less, probably less of a tendency of a woman walking in and saying that. You know what I'm saying?
Saying what? That
saying that
big?
I don't want to get too big. Because this
no.
is where the aerobics classes of, what was it, Elite, like late 70s?
Yeah, the steps,
this
the jazzercise,
like, yeah,
all that stuff.
It was safe
mm-hmm.
because you could look like Jane Fonda, God bless her, but
yeah.
doesn't have
lover.
True muscle tone
no.
the way we envision it, but certainly is in shape. So I think that
yeah.
still, ideally,
mm-hmm.
I think that if you
Although,
pulled a lot of women,
yeah.
it would be, if they said Serena Williams or her, I still think a lot of people would vote for this Jane Fonda. What do you think?
I don't know. Nowadays, I think they would go for the Serena Williams. Yeah,
what do you think,
Scott?
I think it depends on where you are. I think it's coming around a little bit as to where muscle and good posture, we're all and just being able is
mm-hmm.
sexy. But I think that going to the level of Serena or some of these women that are seen as it shouldn't be that way, but it just seems like her arms are too big and strong. She's seen
yeah.
almost like as a masculine.
Yeah.
But I think that it's the shift. It's slow. You know, as
yeah.
time goes on, I do see that people are becoming more educated and they're taking better care of themselves and focus on health more. So I think that shift is happening, but it's not there yet. And again, it depends on where you are. you know, when you go through different neighborhoods at the same year, you drive through, you know, a bad neighborhood in 2016, you're going to see a lot of people hanging outside of the liquor store smoking mm-hmm. cigarettes, and you go through another neighborhood and you're going to see a lot of people jogging. It depends on the mindset of the person, it reflects how they feel about their life, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, that's true. What do you think, Winter?
I was going to give a little shout out to the CrossFit people, because I think this is something that's becoming, it's a real, really hot on fire around where I live in the suburbs right now in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
But I even notice it in some of my...
CrossFit, you know what CrossFit is? I've noticed that it's just an interval training in the 20th century is really what it is.
But
Exactly. It's become a sport, and it's become it's a huge, I don't want to call it trendy. It's trendy, but I am seeing these moms, and I love it because, you know, I myself am not into it, but they're so dedicated to it, and they're so into it, and they're teeny little things that are holding these huge weights and,
yeah.
you know, working as a group and getting a lot out of it. So it's definitely, I think, where we are today. It depends on how you view it, maybe where you live and just what you're gravitating to.
Mm-hmm.
There are people out there that, like, I think they like Kate Moss, and there's people out there that, you know, like a girl that's got a nice build on her. So it depends. It's so much more accepted.
Yeah. Very
the diversity of it, which makes me happy.
Exactly. Okay, are we ready for question
now,
number two? Number three.
Number three. Winter, this is for you, darling. When should a person change their workout? A, when the gym raises their prices. B, eat the cake. C, when a person becomes bored.
Oh, my gosh. Of course, when they're bored. And you don't have to be in a gym, by the way.
There you go.
Right? Yeah. I it's so important not to be bored in your workouts and not to get bored in life. Because boredom, you just get, right? You just feel a little bit depressed
mm-hmm.
or you feel, I don't know. I have somebody who's a mentor to me. She's a little harsh. She's like, there's no excuse for boredom. You should never be bored. So just figure it out.
Boredom, because don't you think that we do repetitive things every day? Every day we get up, we brush our teeth.
Right.
It's your perspective.
Either like you get the kids ready, and you too, Todd, you get the kids ready. And that is a routine that you need to do every day until you don't do it. And you know what happens? You have another routine, because I had that routine.
I think it has to do with your perspective.
If you look at things
and you say, this is boring me, as opposed to,
mm-hmm.
then maybe you shouldn't have so much focus on it and you should just have it be rote and have it done.
Right. Well, every day is a different day. So
there's so many things that could be, boring every day.
What did you say?
What was that, Winter?
If you agreed to get married, you are with the same person for a very long time, right?
Well,
unless you get out of
marriage. You're committed to that person, sure.
You're committed,
you
right? So how do you keep something and someone, the routines that you share, the things that you do, the responsibilities that you share, even the things that you do for fun, how do you keep it fresh and how do you keep it from not getting boring? And I guess that's it's something that I try. He calls it that I just am constantly looking for ways to keep it spicy, to keep it different, adding to it, changing
mm-hmm.
something. So that's what you can do for a workout. Some people love hiking and some people can't stand working outside. So don't all of a sudden take up hiking if you can't stand to be outdoors, but what can you do differently indoors? Just a little change, you know,
mm-hmm.
To make it a little bit different. So I think it's possible to try not to get bored or to change things or to, I don't know.
You know what I think? You know, the key to life. I think the key to life is being open-minded and flexible. That's really it. So if you're open to new situations, you'll embrace them as opposed to letting them go. And I think that's really what the key is. And think about that. That you could apply. That's a template you could apply to everything, every aspect of your life, your marriage, your work. I mean, if you're open to the possibility of change, it'll happen.
Right.
And you can encourage better activity, maybe more negative act, but it's yours. I mean, you won't be stagnant.
I always say to clients, based pretty much what you're saying, Lori, I tell clients often, you know, have you ever heard people say that high school was the best years of their lives and things like that? And I'm always saddened by that, because that means that you have not advanced. You haven't found new things that give you anxiety that you're able to overcome. Or some people, college, they say, but that was the last time you were forced out of your comfort zone. And when you face something that is uncomfortable and you see yourself through the other end, I think that is what gives you the excitement. You can look back on yourself and you say, I'm proud of me now because I did that. And I think a lot of people end up losing that. They get comfortable, they're set in their ways, and they don't realize that it is being uncomfortable. It is that moment of anxiety, that little bit of where you're apprehensive, that being able to overcome that and develop a new you, a kind of like a phoenix process where you didn't think you could do it. That's what working out's about as well. You're always challenging yourself mentally, physically, to do something more, to make yourself something better. You're always trying, and that is, it's the journey. And I think that a lot of people lose that. You'll hear a lot of, I mean, really, high school and college, they can be great years, but that shouldn't be the end of it. You know, that was a very short time. Hopefully a long life.
Well, it's also a different way of thinking also. You think in different perspectives.
Exactly. It's about looking at
high school, whether in college, and now. I mean, we're in our 50s. I don't think the same as I was in the 40s or 30s or 20s. You're so different. And you take things in different strides in life, too. You know, it's not so important as it was in the past anymore, because you are what you are and where you are at the moment, and that's it, you know? You got to be happy with who you are.
Yeah.
We're in charge of it. When you're in high school, we're not yet in charge.
Right.
So
see, and that's what I'm
going to
say. I'm going to support what Winter said. In high school and college, you're not really in control of your destiny.
You're still living at home. You know, your parents are paying everything.
There's
no responsibility.
You have to ask permission for everything. And as much as, as adults, we have to, you know, there's brick and mortar overhead, there's college tuition, there's all of that. But we don't, you know, for me anyway, I really like the autonomy of not having. Why are you booing me, Elise?
I'm sorry.
What happened there?
I spilled something.
Oh, okay. I thought you were booing me.
No.
I love autonomy, and I like not having to be able to raise my hand and ask permission to do something. I just do it.
Sure.
And I think that, but again, I don't want to put my imprint on anybody else. That works for
me. And you can't.
Right, exactly.
You can't.
Exactly. But
that's the thing, too. As we get older, we have to realize that everybody's different. What works for you does not work for anybody else.
And that's where I say flexibility and embracing change is the best
thing. It's the best thing,
Okay, Todd, here
and
we go.
And I'm sure Todd keeps his clients, and Elite keeps her clients, from getting bored anyway. Because let's face it, a good trainer should be able to, or group fitness director should be able to also sense when the boredom's coming in.
Definitely.
You know something, she doesn't keep a co-host from getting bored, that's for sure. I tell you that much.
If your clients are bored, you start getting bored and you lose the passion as well.
Exactly.
You do, because you feel it from your clients.
It's a partnership, isn't it?
Right.
It's totally a partnership.
It's a team effort.
Right.
And that's what we always tell people. It's like, you know, you could have the best trainer in the world disseminating the best possible philosophy for you to get into shape, but if you don't step on board and do all the right things, you know, you're going to blame the trainer because it's just not going
to
work.
That's what I was trying to say with marriage, and that's where I want to end, is that I think it's a partnership, and if boredom, it takes two people. So That's it.
You're
good.
Two people on the same page, because sometimes
you're with them. You're with them. Let's say 2 to 3 hours a week. How many hours of their lifestyle that got them there are they engaging in? What, 176? So
exactly,
with that being said, how much fault is it? It's almost like blaming the teacher when you didn't study for your test.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And you know something, and this is what with the same thing. I remember I used this philosophy with my teenage godchildren that were like actually going on the wrong side of the road. And I remember saying, I'm saying all the right things, but my access to them is maybe 4 hours a week. Everybody else has their ears longer. So I have to make what I say to them more potent to drown out every other thing that they're hearing that might be more enticing.
Sure.
And that's really it.
Yeah.
That's really it. I mean, you could be responsible for somebody's change as much as you can, but the rest is up to them.
And you guys still have small children, you know. As your kids get older, you're going to have more time with your spouse, and you'll see that things change as that happens.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole relationship changes.
I have a 5.5-year-old, and I have an 8.5-year-old, and I already notice what you were just suggesting, Lee, you know. And
yeah,
I wasn't
things change.
That I have a boring marriage, by the way. I was just saying that somebody that I look up to that's a good mentor said, you know, there's no excuse to get bored. And I know that's a little harsh, and it's a little bit being like, hunky-dory, everything's great, everyone can be happy.
It's
but
all about the kids, Winter. It's not about the marriage right now. Right now it's all about your two kids. That's what it's about. You know, and what you bring to the marriage is just the extra effects. So you just have to.
Yes.
That's what you're bored with,
think,
your kids. You're bored with the kids' activities.
Oh,
believe me, I've done it, been
right.
there.
I hated it.
What'd you say?
How's your husband? Because I was just on the phone with my wife a half an hour ago complaining that I don't get enough. Not in so many words, but kind of complaining that I don't, you know, I've really shifted down to where I feel like the dog is clearly a priority over me. And she's the best, so I understand.
You need more
but that
time.
Being said, I definitely feel the where I used to be number one for 16 years, and then over the past 3 years, I really
moved
up.
Down the ladder. Every kid you
and
had
it means
like
your
around
kids
another
are older?
Step.
How old are your children?
Three and 5 months.
5 months.
Three
yep.
and 6 months.
Oh, babies. Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it changes so much, and you know what I've noticed? I've noticed if, you know, by instinct as a parent, I think it should be all about the kids. And my first instinct was to make it all about the kids. But what I've found is, bizarrely enough, if I make it my focus in my brain and my actions to make my marriage the happiest it can be, it actually makes the whole unit happier.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm setting an example.
The mother
so
is the home unit.
Yeah.
You are
yeah,
the key.
I try to drive
right.
that car in the way that I know that keeps everyone happy. And it always changes who's the favorite. I'm waiting for it to be me because I'll tell you, my husband walks in the door and it's like,
Daddy!
Central President. So, yeah, he can do no wrong. But it's okay.
He's not home.
He's not home as much.
Not home, and mommy is doing all the yelling and the screaming and
but
doing
you know
that.
Something? You know something? I'm gonna correct you on that. The minute they go away from home from camp for the first time, it's mommy they're screaming for.
They have to.
They
have to miss you first. That's
no, but
the
that's
thing.
See, that's the thing. It's just like anything else. There's something new. You're with somebody all day, and you're not that you're taking it for granted, but somebody new with this new energy being infused, so you go to that.
Yeah.
But that doesn't dilute the potency
of
the person that's with you.
This is in a whole other show that we'll have you on for that marriage.
I know, how funny, from the question, it's all started with cake.
Yeah, but that's our life. That's your life when you have kids. It's all about the kids.
Mm. It's, you know what? It's all about, you know, doing the best you can with a given situation. That's really it. Anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And you have
okay.
to dedicate time to yourself because then you won't be good
you have
to.
And you know
you
why?
To.
Because if you're not investing in yourself, what good can you bring to anybody else if that's
to
your priority?
Anybody. That's right. That's right.
When you teach in the afternoon, Winters, who watches your kids?
I don't teach in the afternoon. I teach early morning, and I teach evening.
Oh, okay. So that you make it four.
But I do have to live. Well, I do have to live further from the city now that I have kids going to school. I do have my mom and my sister to babysit, but it's not consistent depending on where they're at work-wise or where my mom's living.
I had the same problem
so
when I had my daughter.
I have some sitters. But I need to make sure that I satisfy my passions and my health and my body and my identity, because otherwise I'm not as good as mother and I'm not as good as partner. So
Exactly. It's the same question. It's the
balance.
Same thing. The same answer with what do you do when you get bored and you work out?
This is what we were talking about.
What do you do when you get bored in your life?
This is what we were talking about with Michelle and Barack before. It's like she's a woman who supports her husband, the most powerful man in just about all of the world. But she walks behind. She walks beside
him, not behind
him.
Yes,
and that's really important for a woman not to lose her identity, because it affects everything that you touch when you do. It just
It bleeds into life.
That's exactly it.
It does.
Okay, Todd. Here's your question.
And there will be cake in it.
Of course. What the hell is it with this cake? Lee designed these questions. Jesus,
I love
Mary
cake.
And Joseph. Okay. Should you have cheat days? Okay. One, there's only two answers to this. No, because you'll lose all your gain. And two is go ahead and eat cake, but make sure you go right back on your plan. There you go. Lee, why are you looking? You made these. She's looking at she doesn't know what she wrote.
I forgot a third answer?
No, sweetheart.
What? Wait a minute.
Well, I don't know what to say.
I don't know.
That's it. Wait.
No, you have different things. No,
give me that.
You see, listen to me, Todd, okay? Should you have cheat days? No, because you'll lose all your gains. Two, go ahead, eat the cake, but make sure you go right back to your plan. And three, no, because you'll look like Honey Boo Boo.
See, now, why did my mind leave that out?
So which is the right answer?
Same answer, B. Number two.
You're keeping the same answer. Okay.
So how come you only have three?
I don't know.
You copied it?
I certainly did, darling.
So that's why I printed it.
Well, the first one was, the two that I'm not choosing are no, because you'll blow up if you have a cheat day, and the other one was, you'll look like Honey Boo Boo.
Yes.
I'm not picking either of those.
Although, there's a new reality show with June, what is her name, the mother of Honey Boo Boo, that's supposed to have lost 70 pounds.
Is she?
Yes. And they're not allowing pictures or anything to, you know, to be disseminated because they're waiting for the premiere of the show.
Oh.
She lost 70 pounds, so apparently.
The mother of Honey Boo Boo?
Yes.
You're saying Honey Boo Boo?
Honey Boo Boo is a little girl. We thought it was the pig, remember?
Yeah,
we thought it was the pig.
Have you ever watched this show? And I think it's a very, you know, emotional, disheartening show. It's called My 600-Pound Life. Have you ever watched it?
I have not.
Oh, it's a very, very good show, if you could ever catch it. I don't know what channel
it's on.
I think it's on TLC, but I think it's on Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock. It's a very, it's a true, you know, it's a reality show, and it's about people that are over 600 pounds and how they got there. And every person that is so overweight, obese, they call it morbidly obese, has been through traumatic affairs in their life, you know, whether it's been a murder, you know, anything, you know, from being sexually assaulted, and they found food for their comfort. But it's always the same doctor, Dr. Nazareth, that does the you know, the bypass. You know, to be on the show, I guess you get the free bypass. But it's a very, very, very good show, if you could ever catch it.
Well, it's a protection for sure, I think.
Yes.
Overeating when you're not hungry can be a protection so that you
look a certain way, or a source of comfort.
But I hope that, you know, I hope to teach my children, and I have to be careful because, you know, my husband's involved in this 90-day challenge with Tiger Shulman's, which is a mixed martial arts program, and it's fantastic. But I, you know, from a very early age, they're being exposed to this eating plans and, you know, cheat days like you mentioned, and, you know, their mom is in fitness and looks a certain way and all this stuff. But I try to really make it like cheat days, or there is no, it's just sort of like the, a way of being is to try to eat healthily and to try to stop eating when you're too full. And if you want ice cream, that's great. We'll have it. But to have it every day is overload because you'll get a bellyache. It's too much sugar, you know, so that, that it doesn't become something that is forbidden or that is so much of an issue. Because you know what? Even if somebody wasn't didn't go through some kind of trauma, I think that food can become an issue if it's the emphasis is on it too much or to look a certain way. So to expand on, to expand on that answer, you know, a cheat day, sure, but think of it less as a diet, if that's fair to say, and more of it's just your nutritious way of being or your lifestyle.
A diet is temporary, like you're saying. A lifestyle is a lifestyle. A diet is a temporary thing you do, and it's not meant to.
And you don't want to really be. Who wants to live being? You gotta have your cake every now and then.
Have your cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
You know,
Winter. I think I was telling you that my mother was, you know, was I think certainly before her time. I mean, she worked out. You know, to Jack LaLanne, like every day, you know, she would bring her little chair in the living room and I'd work out with her. But her approach to nutrition was we didn't know from potato chips or candy. She brought those out maybe a Saturday or a Sunday. That was it. The rest of the week, we had no sugar. We had maybe Jell-O for dessert if there was dessert. We had after-school snacks for any form of fruit that was in the house, celery sticks or carrots. So to this day, my brother and I don't go for the traditional dessert. If we have dessert, you know, it might be maybe as, you know, going out for somebody's birthday, but we don't normally have dessert with our meals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and we don't miss it.
See,
that's
interesting.
The point.
Yeah. I was raised that way too.
Yeah.
But I'll just tell you a little secret before we go on to the next question is that my house has a lot of snacks in it, and it's because my husband, the person I partnered up with, he wasn't allowed snacks ever in his family. So immediately as an adult, he wanted snacks in the house at all times.
There you go.
And so I grapple with that. You'd be surprised. You'd think my kids eat amazingly, but that's where I go back to. I just try to be there, and I try to make it a little bit. And on holidays, it's a little bit more, and I try to emphasize good nutrition, but I also am working with who I'm living with too.
Yeah,
so it's challenging.
Yeah.
My parents didn't have snacks, no way. And I just, it's just, I don't know.
Oftentimes when parents try to control or withhold something, or not just parents, when people do, it becomes a taboo. It's so many examples.
Exactly.
You have the Catholic schoolgirl. You have the Amish
community. It becomes an obsessive thing.
You have the mom or dad disapproving of the biker boyfriend or the whatever the case is. And that's what she
is.
If you make it taboo, they're going to be drawn towards it. You have to take away that mystique. And by letting them experience it safely, experiencing highs and lows, going through it, and same thing with your clients, in a lot of ways, you look over them like children because you care, you want them to, just as you would with your children, and so you do. And in a lot of ways, you have to let them make their own mistakes and say, well, what did you get out of that? But you also have to be open with them and accepting enough for them to be wanting to tell you that they screwed up. If you're one of those judgmental, I got veins popping out and I just flex in the mirror, they're not going to share that with you, and therefore the two of you are not in an open relationship, and you're not going to succeed together, just as Winter was saying, like a relationship with your spouse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's communication.
That's another topic we make. Maybe we'll do some childhood obesity.
Didn't we do that, Ellen? I'm trying to think.
I don't think so.
I think it was 2 years ago. I'm trying to think. I'll look in
I'll
file.
I'll tell you
we could always renew it.
Okay.
When you are judging, you create those taboos. I think that it creates that rift, and you become you are not an ally anymore.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, you know, but
I
could
yeah,
tell you my own
challenge.
Story, but we don't have the whole day.
No, we don't have the whole day. But, no, I know exactly what you're saying. Okay.
We could go out for cake, Elite, one day.
Yes, yeah, cake.
About all
cake. And martinis.
A little bit of
cake.
Martinis.
Just a little bit, yes.
Now, who's next? I think it was Winter? Or, no, is it Todd? Todd, is it you? You're up? Who's up?
Give it
Winter's
to Todd.
Up.
Winter's
up.
Okay.
I talk a lot.
Should you train with a partner? A, sure, if you could motivate each other, why not? Two, no, because they might eat cake as you're working out. Elite, this is ridiculous. And that'll make
it.
You lose motivation. And three, only if they're in shape.
Hey. I don't even think that there's a correct answer there, except for the silliness.
It's very,
you know,
yeah, it is silly.
I love silly, by the way. But you
Thank
should
you.
Work out with a person if that's going to motivate you to do more, to get out of your comfort zone. And if you don't like people, if you want to put your headphones on and get in your own zone, then you should work out by yourself. I mean, and you should pick and choose your partner very carefully. You want to be with someone who's motivational and not going to drag you down if they're not in the mood. Somebody that's really there because they – you pick and choose carefully, but I don't
know
that there's a right or wrong answer there. If they're eating cake while they're working out, it might be a little dangerous, so maybe we'll get rid of that
one. Get that cake thing in there.
Got to have the cake.
You know what? And I think that buddy system is really what people, you're accountable. And then a lot of people who work with personal trainers, too, might never have gotten to the gym, but they say, you know what, I paid for it and I have somebody waiting for me, so I'll do it. So there's that ideology with all of this. And having a friend there to make you feel safe and make you feel comfortable and to cheer you on, I think, is a good thing. It's a good thing in all aspects of life.
No, I agree. And, you know, it's somebody that you might admire, your trainer or your teacher, and then that might inspire you to be better. It depends on your personality. I mean, it's a very, very, it's a special relationship that people don't, pedestrians, people that are not in fitness or health and wellness, they really don't know sometimes the magnitude of importance that a trainer or a group fitness teacher can have with other people. It's not just the workout. It really can affect their whole lives.
Mm-hmm.
And
the clients need
anymore.
To know it's not just all about them.
Yeah.
That's what they
Very
need.
True. Very true. So
the thing is, the clients, and we've had a show about this, it's very hard when the clients, I look at it from their point of view, they paid for a service, so they want it to be all about them, but they don't understand the amount of intense energy that the trainer has to import on them to get themselves there. To be, you know, this blank screen and to be there regardless of what's going on in their lives. Be there, be present, and do their job. See, that's what a lot of people don't realize.
Put a time aside for them, make sure they show up.
Yeah.
If they don't show up, your whole day is, like, done. It's just like it's
and
just
the,
enough.
And the whole thing is, it's the human aspect.
Yeah.
You know, people don't realize that, you know, a trainer showing up to the Todd, if you're going there at 5 o'clock in the morning and it's a blizzard and you might have walked away from some, you know, maybe a little tiff with your wife, but you're there and you're going to bring your A game and they should do the same thing,
mm-hmm.
too. And people
don't
see that.
No.
People don't see that.
No, because they think they paid you and
that's
you own them, you know,
yeah.
that's it.
That's it.
No.
I try
to
educate. Oh, go ahead.
No, I might have discussed this last time I spoke with you all, but I learned that lesson and maybe 90, I think it was 97, I had a client and he said he only wanted to work upper body, that was it. And this is literally now 20 years ago, wow. And I said, hey, okay, you're paying, pal. But the guy didn't know. He didn't know what he didn't know. He was unconscious, incompetent, and he came to me to be the expert, to know what to do for his best interest, and I failed him by saying, I'm just a hired hand, and that is not the case. That was wrong. I learned that lesson because the guy ended up coming up, shouting out in the middle of the gym on the treadmill that his car, you know, he had a, we worked his chest, we worked his shoulders, we worked everything so that he could look like a light bulb, just like how he wanted. And he complained to me, I look like a light bulb, look at me. And I remember thinking, oh, my God, this is exactly what you asked me to do for you.
You should have just said, that's your idea.
Light bulb.
You know,
I get it.
I was like 18, 19 years old. I was just happy to be training clients. And,
sure.
You know,
and you wanted
and
to
so,
please him.
Yeah, and so but I learned from that because of the embarrassment of him telling me that I failed him when I put so much work in.
Yeah.
But
I
understood that now, you know, people are coming to me to be the expert. You can have, you know, give me as much information as possible and we'll work with it and I will work with you. Of course, it's not going to be a blind, you do this, you do that. We have to interact and communicate. But beyond that, if you say, I need to do this, I need to get that done, we write it down. We look how those goals are coming, how they're coming along, if they're still the goal. Sometimes people change. You know, 6 months in, they could go from, I want to lose weight and look this way, to, I just want to be healthy and playing with my kids because now I understand health.
Exactly.
There's a big difference from that. You have to make sure not to allow people from the get-go to think that they are purchasing a servant, because that is far from the case. And nobody's
very
helping
true.
Anybody if that is.
No, that's
all
exactly right.
Right,
yeah.
You know,
again,
a lot of those people, this is how they treat, you have to stand your ground. They treat their waiters and waitresses,
that's
in a service position, they view you as the person who's pulling their car up, and that is not the
exactly.
case. They should view you as a part of their power team that they respect, that is helping better their lives, just as they would their therapist, as their doctor, so on.
But, you know, it's funny because, and Lee, you know, one of my friends, and you know him too, I'm not going to mention his name, he's a very, very, well, he has his own chain of gyms now, but he was like one of the highest paid personal trainers on the East Coast. And what happens when you find that one client that will pay you six figures to just train them maybe three times a week, if they're not getting the three times a week, what happens is, well, I'm paying you for it, so maybe pick up my kid at daycare. If you're coming anyway, pick up some milk. And you become an indentured person. And I always said, I've never done things like that.
And I never will.
I've never gone on tour because you become something
very
different than your discipline or your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And for some people,
and
it's okay.
Teach people how to respect you, too.
Right,
if you start behaving that way, you are teaching them. And I find I'm not a trainer, so it's a little bit different for me. But if I may say, even just being a teacher in group fitness, last night someone said really loudly, this is stupid. And it was a new exercise. It's actually somebody who loves me, loved my class, and is a religious patron of my class. But she didn't understand it. She didn't like it. She wasn't doing it well, and she was having a bad day. So I took that knowledge. I didn't say anything. But afterwards, I did say to her, if you don't understand how an exercise is working, if you don't feel it, if you don't like it, let me know after the class. You know, I can't tolerate you saying something like that to somebody else in my class. And it really,
it affected you the whole day. It sits with you.
And I said, you know what? I said, I love you to death. But I just want you to know that and I just demand the respect in a loving way. Because we set the tone how people treat us both as a fitness professional and really in our day. So fetching milk before a session, no thank you. That's just how we have to, and that person will actually benefit from it because I really believe it's you're teaching them and reminding them. I would want someone to remind me to be what's the best version of how I can behave and what's really going on with me, and let's just man up here. So
exactly,
it's important to communicate with them.
And honestly, it's just rude. It's just rude to do something like that because
that would ruin my whole day.
When somebody does something like that, it's a cancer we're waiting to spread,
yeah.
And it's just not a cool thing. So, I mean, I think most
exactly
human beings
right.
should know that if they have some sort of grievance, to wait till the end of a class, session, whatever, to air it to either the instructor or to your friends that are with you.
Yep.
But to do
right.
that in the middle of a class is just really not cool.
It's not cool.
Nice.
It's Matt. We should gong. She gets the gong.
Yeah, what's the gong? Do we have a gong?
I gave
here?
You that.
No,
the
gong.
A gong.
Boo, boo. Give it boo. Give it boo.
A boo?
Yeah, boo for
boo.
Boo. There we go. That's for you.
There we go.
Whoever did that in Winter's class last night, shame
not
on
nice.
You.
Not nice. Not nice.
Shame on
oh,
you.
Oh, it's okay.
It's not okay because, you see, it stayed with you.
You know,
it stayed
well,
with you. If it wasn't
right.
okay, you wouldn't have stayed with you.
No, it's just not. It's just
similar
not
to being treated poorly by someone asking you to fetch, do their errands on,
right,
on the
exactly.
way to chain them. So that's where I equated it to remind people. And
it's almost the same. They degraded you.
Yeah, it's just
a little
like,
bit.
You know what?
I
have to say.
People are having a bad day.
We should
well,
just.
You know what? You have bad days too, but do you go bring it into class? No.
We
no.
should learn, and not to quote Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. You know, we have to
yeah.
treat each other better. We have to treat each other better. And you know what? I have my bad days, too.
We all do.
But
all
the
do.
Truth is, I make sure I don't take them out on anybody. I just
mm-hmm.
let,
yeah.
let it, you know, let it fester until I see you or
right.
my ultimate.
Exactly.
That's
there
one
you go.
One or two things. But thanking you, too. For joining
it's
us
amazing.
On the show. An hour and 5 minutes went by.
Yeah, and you know what? And next we're going to have topics of marriage and kids.
I think so.
And then childhood obesity.
I think so.
And we'll have you back on.
And before you guys leave, I want to turn to each of you and ask if there's anything you want to shout out. Winter, is there a class or anything that's going on that you want to give a mention to?
Not in particular. I mean, I'm happily teaching at Pier 60 Bar in Chelsea Piers, and anybody who has class pass can attend Pier 60 Bar for bar class. I'm at the JCC on the Upper West Side, and they take membership and class pass. But I really enjoyed the show, and it's funny how fitness just goes well. A question and answer about fitness just well surpasses into
everything.
Life and
yeah.
I love it.
And everything. And
yep.
putting your hard work and positive energy and being the best you can. So, it's always a better outcome than I think it's going to be. It's very enlightening and enjoyable. So thank
you. And
you
know, I have to give credit to the lovely Lee Ziegelman for orchestrating these questions. And I even said we're probably not going to get through most of them.
Well, we did.
But because there's going to be so many reasons for import of other discussion.
But it was
and it was perfect.
Whatever they came out with
that's
was
what I'm
very
saying.
Nice.
It's just like
very
perfect
important.
Because it was a platform and that was wonderful. Todd, is there anything you want to say? Anything you want to shout out other than your lovely kids and your lovely wife and yourself?
Don't forget the dogs.
And the dogs.
No, that was it. I didn't have a shout out planned or know what to do with one. So yeah, I just thanks for having me on, and
to the best dad in Connecticut. How about that? To the best dad in Connecticut.
A wonderful personal trainer. His
that too.
Client.
That we know.
Absolutely adore him. Adore him. And that's
all that matters.
That's really, you know, an impact.
Really,
on
the best dad
life.
Is all that matters. But we'll say it.
Todd, what is your last name, by the way?
Murray. The tractor.
Murray.
Okay.
Murray.
Good to know.
He's not on
If you guys look me up, I've never even seen, aside from like a snapshot on TV, I've never even seen Facebook or MySpace
What if we wanted to recommend you to people in Connecticut? What if we have friends
and
connections
in
Connecticut?
Will you let us know? We'll contact
him. Please
if you contact Lori and Elite, they have all of my information.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely wonderful. He's
definitely.
Absolutely
yeah.
He really is.
You know
he
what?
Really,
and you
really
know,
is.
Not to just say this about him, but he is the many layers a personal trainer should be.
Mm-hmm.
He's there emotionally, physically, mentally.
And patiently.
Yes. And
yes,
that's
he sounds
really
committed.
Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. So, honestly, anybody who gets him is getting beyond what they bargained for.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
You deserve it.
And to both of you, thank you for being on the show.
Yes,
we'll
Winter, hopefully we
again.
See you soon for your birthday. We're going to have like
that
a...
That would be awesome.
Yes, definitely. We'll take you out for
okay.
drinks. Loosen you up.
I'm in.
Got it.
I'm in.
Todd, you take care.
Okay.
Kiss your family. And thank you for being on. You'll be on again. Todd, Murray.
Thanks so much.
Thank
Enjoy
you
your day, guys.
Bye.
Thank you, guys.
Bye, everyone.
Yeah.
Have
you.
A great
Bye-bye.
Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Winter Gabriel, Todd Murray. And then I tell you something. They work well together. That's why I love
they
it. It's like they know each other's space and, you know.
Yeah. They're very good guests.
They're very good guests. And Todd,
one more game
is, yep, yep. Give another applause. Wait, what about applause for
that too?
Todd Murray, Winter Gabriel.
Woo-hoo! Yeah, yeah. Sit down
always
in the back
nice.
Over there.
Everybody
You're always standing
down.
Up. Get down.
I hate that. It blocks my light. It blocks
really?
My light. So...
In saying that,
I think we got to make the people that make the show possible. Who do we love, Elite?
We love Topperson.
Topperson is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
It's so wonderful.
What's so wonderful? Mm-hmm. Topperson is wonderful. www.topperson.com. Go online. And I think there's a BBS code, 25, and you get 25% off anything you buy. Foot formula, fibromyalgia, what is it?
Sports cream.
Wait, pain. My pain away is a new sports
right,
cream.
Right, sports cream.
Topperson Junior,
mm-hmm.
which is great for in the summer. For
the foot formula, which
foot
I
formula,
love.
Which is what you love. Any array of ointments that are there. We say we love them, they love us, bruises love them more. And let me tell you something, if you ever had a bruise and you put it on, you will see it go from blue-black to yellow, 24 hours, people, 24 hours. Topperson.
Amazing.
Topperson, www.topperson.com. Visit their website. Visit their page. Look for our Fitness Fridays.
Every Friday on Facebook.
On
Topperson.
Facebook. And you know what? If you don't like our Facebook page, shame on you. The Bridal Body Shop.
Seriously.
Like us on Facebook. And even if that's your little conduit, to Topperson, you'll see our Fitness Fridays.
You'll see everything.
On Facebook. So, and now the boys that make noise, they have a TV show, they have a radio show, but they have a magazine, Muscle Sport Magazine. We love them because they're all meat, no filler. And if you are like Elite, the lovely Elite Ziegelman and myself, when she is crossing her long legs to sit and relax and read a periodical on muscle, she is picking up Muscle Sport Magazine because it has the content that we want, like the old school,
mm-hmm.
like old muscle
That's
and
right.
fitness, like old flex. It's got all the articles you want. You don't want all the advertisements.
No.
Muscle Sport Mag. MuscleSport.com. If you're trying to get this month, you'll never get it. They're sold out. But try for next month. The subscription is $32 a year. A year. Do you hear what I'm saying?
That's a cup of coffee. For 2 years.
What? That's,
a day.
That.
2 years.
I was going to say that's less than coffee
yeah. well,
every day.
Either way.
Depending on where you buy it. I won't just make any disparaging remarks, but that's depending on where you buy it. Muscle Sport. And one of our partners we're kicking in the wedding season, the wedding salon. You are not going to do weddings better. They do it up. There's everybody there. When they have events, let me tell you something. Martha Stewart worked with the lovely Tatiana Byron, and she is actually the one that platformed the wedding salon. It was 4 p.m. events before this, but this is what it's become, and it's an empire. Their wedding events are in L.A. They are all over the world. And when you go to one of them, you will see what we're talking about. Like them on Facebook, The Wedding
yeah.
Salon, yeah, and you'll see our fitness tips there, or also The Wedding Salon.
There you go.
Just go to their website.
Beautiful.
And if you're shopping for a wedding, if you're not shopping for a wedding, if you want something to do in the city one day, there's going to be a bunch happening in July, so in January, so just go to them. And that's our show.
Woo! Yeah!
There we go. People are getting ready to filter out. So I'd like to thank my lovely co-host.
Thank you.
Elite Ziegelman. much
Thank
for
you,
writing,
Lori.
I'm making it a pleasure, treasure. And, of course, Winter Gabriel, who is our fitness correspondent. Thank you, my dear. She'll be on again. She was on a couple of weeks ago. We'll get her on more because she's just always lovely and
yes.
effervescent. Yes.
Definitely.
Todd Murray, couldn't ask for a better personal trainer. He is in the Connecticut area, and he is just wonderful at what he does, and he gets stellar reviews from any person he's entered the doorway of. In saying that, bump a year ahead. Go make it a good one. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Be kind to each other. And we hope that you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Go make it a good day. Take us home, Elise.
You got it.